Blog Talk Radio.
Hello and welcome to another exciting edition of TaylorMade Sports with Kevin Taylor. I am yours truly, Kevin Taylor, giving you the best and most current sports information from Atlanta, my hometown. Yes, we're covering sports like no other, rocking that sports bell from the ATL. And of course, on this program, we've got another exciting edition of the program for you as we're going to recap last Monday's thrilling college football national championship. It was thrilling for Alabama because, of course, they won on a overtime touchdown. We're going to get to that. Disappointing for Georgia fans, though. Also, we're going to get comments from Nate Woody, who was just introduced at Georgia Tech this week as the new defensive coordinator under Paul Johnson. And we are going to preview the Atlanta Falcons as they take on the Philadelphia Eagles in the divisional round of the NFL playoffs that will take place on Saturday. So a lot to cover right here on TaylorMade Sports with Kevin Taylor. Make sure to check me out anytime on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at KevinTaylor98. Again, that's KevinTaylor98. Also, you can check out my YouTube page at TaylorMade Sports with Kevin Taylor. Again, that's TaylorMade Sports with Kevin Taylor. All right, so let's go ahead and start it. As you know, it was, what can you say? It was a thrilling game for both teams, Alabama as well as Georgia. But in the end, Alabama added to their dynasty of college football championships. Yes, they did. Nick Saban, you know, he was, you know, I think he coached a great game. Kirby Smart, I think, coached a great game as well. But the boldest move that you will ever see, I think, in college sports was when the quarterback change was made at halftime. Going from Jalen Hurts, basically more of a running quarterback, to Tua Tagovailoa. And that proved to be dividends. The freshman quarterback had played mostly just spot duty this season, but he came off the bench, gave the offense a spark, and a comeback. He threw a 41-yard touchdown pass to Devontae Smith. They gave number 4 Alabama a 26-23 overtime victory over number 3 Georgia inside Mercedes-Benz Stadium in downtown Atlanta. And Tagovailoa, he entered the game at halftime, replacing Jalen Hurts, like I told you, and threw 3 touchdown passes. 3 to give the Crimson Tide their 5th national championship since 2009 under head coach Nick Saban. So that's why I said that right now they are like the dynasty of college football. Jalen Hurts said after the game, he just stepped in and did his thing. He's built for stuff like this. I'm so happy for him. And these two guys, they seem to be very close. No animosity, no jealousy, no nothing, none of that. You know, so just straight respect for one another. Now, for the third straight season, Alabama played a classic, and I do mean classic, college football playoff championship game. Of course, Alabama split 2 with Clemson, and they lost last season, also in a touchdown, with a second left. Now, on the play, Smith actually ran into the end zone after Tagovailoa looked off the safety. And then, of course, you know, well, you know what happened next. It was a wide-open touchdown. Alabama wins the game, and they were voted number 1 in the final AP college football poll for the 11th time. And that's more than any other program. Yes, that's why I used the word dynasty. Georgia, of course, They finished second. There's no love for the runner-up, right? Alabama missed a 36-yard field goal that actually would have won the game in regulation, but it just didn't happen. Georgia actually took the lead with a 51-yard field goal from Rodrigo Blankenship in overtime. Tagovailoa, he took a sack on the Tide's first play. He lost 16 yards, but the kid didn't lose his composure. He did not lose his confidence at all. On the next play, that's when he found Smith, who was another freshman. Hit him in stride. And, of course, that was that. Alabama is now national champions. Tagovailoa finished with 14 of 24 in passing and 166 yards. And they had 4 wideouts going deep on the final play. Like I said, this game, you know, it was all Georgia, really, in the first half. But when Nick Saban made that coaching change, that's what stood out most. Really, you know, as the turning point, basically. The Tide trailed 20-7 in the third quarter after Georgia's freshman quarterback, Jake Fromm, hit Miko Hardman for an 80-yard touchdown pass. And, of course, that really made everybody who was a Georgia fan, you know, have a lot of confidence that, hey, you know, our team, they're going to get the win here. You know, we're only about, you know, 30 minutes away from a national championship since 1980. Yeah, but it just didn't happen. Fromm threw for 232 yards, and he was a different quarterback a little bit in the second half. Now, he was the first true freshman to lead his team to a national championship game since Jamil Howley did it for Oklahoma in 1985. So Coach Smart actually said afterwards, I mean, if you want to find out about Jake Fromm, go ask those guys on the other side of the ball, and they'll tell you, because that's a really good defense he just went against. Jake Fromm, he did his thing too. I mean, he really stood with a lot of poise in the first half. Like I said, it was a different quarterback in the second half. Georgia really didn't play that well. A lot of three and outs in the second half, but hey, Georgia's defense stepped up. And like I said, the offense with that quarterback change had a spot. And the title game, of course, was being played 70 miles from Georgia's campus in Athens. So, of course, it was a dogs atmosphere with a lot of their fans. But it was Alabama victory yet again in Atlanta. Nick Saban is now 12-0, actually, against his former assistants. Can you believe that? He is undefeated. So the teacher has not lost to the pupil. Saban also has now six major poll national championships, including one at LSU, and that matched the record set by, of course, Alabama's legendary head coach, Hall Bear Bryant. Now, for the second straight week, Georgia was going to overtime. The Bulldogs beat Oklahoma in a wild Rose Bowl finish in double overtime, of course, to get to the national championship game. And, you know, Georgia's defense, to me, they looked a little tired. They looked a little winded, especially late in the fourth quarter. And I think that's one reason why Tagovailoa was able to look off the safety to throw the biggest touchdown pass in the school's history and one of the most memorable of his young career. But, you know, it was a thrilling game. I watched it, and I'm very disappointed by the outcome. But at the same time, Georgia has a top-five recruiting class coming in to play this year. And so this team will be back. So Georgia fans, don't worry. Georgia will be back. All right, let's now go to post-game comments, and we're going to start it off with the winning coach. Here's Alabama's head coach.
Well, first of all, I'd like to thank the College Football Playoff Committee, Bill Hancock and his entire crew, the city of Atlanta, for being a wonderful host for our team and our organization for this game. This was a very difficult turnaround for our players after being in the Sugar Bowl just a week between games, but very proud of the way they handled and managed and the maturity that they showed and perseverance that they showed in being able to come back in the game and win the game last night. You know, sometimes you win the game, but you don't necessarily beat the other team, and I think that we won the game last night because of our resilience, because of our belief in the system, trust and respect for each other, and just really being sort of resilient to whatever happened in the game, and being pretty relentless in terms of the competitive spirit that our players played with. I think Tua certainly gave us a spark in the second half offensively, and I think that was something that helped us on defense, as well as to put some points on the board to give us a chance to win the game. So this has been a wonderful experience for us. This will be a game that I'll never forget. You know, just the ending itself. I think you forget that we scored on fourth down, missed a field goal to win, and then got sacked before we made a big play to win the game. So there was a lot of things that happened that were critical moments in the game that really, really pleased with the way our players responded each and every time they had a circumstance that seemed like it might be very difficult to overcome.
But let's hear from Georgia head coach Kirby Smart.
Yeah, this was an incredible opportunity for the University of Georgia. It's our privilege to represent the institution, our fans and players, in what I think is one of the greatest events in all of sports, college football playoff system. We thank the committee for the treatment they gave us here in Atlanta and also out in Pasadena. I'd also like to take this opportunity to thank President Moorhead and Greg McGarity showing support in our team and our program and investing in us. You know, we told our team that this game wouldn't be decided by past traditions or anything else. It was going to be decided by performances that were happening on the field. And our guys performed on the field, competed. You know, I can't say enough about the remarkable senior class. These two young men sitting next to me, they meant more to Georgia than yards. A lot of heart and soul, a lot of fire. Sonny Michelle came over and talked to the group several times during the game, inspired those guys. But in overtime, we didn't finish when we had to, and Alabama did. And to give them credit, but I think everybody can see that Georgia's going to be a force to be reckoned with. I'm very proud of this team and this university, and we're not going anywhere.
Yes, I would agree with Coach Barr there. They are not going to be going anywhere. They're going to be a force to be reckoned with, not only in the SEC East, but for the SEC West as well, if they get to the SEC Championship game, but also just in college football for many, many more years to come. And the final AP poll for the college football season was Ohio State was fifth, Clemson fourth, Oklahoma was third, Georgia second, and Alabama number one. All right, what a great college football season it was. Now, Georgia, even though they didn't win the big game, they're losing one of their top quarterbacks. It's quarterback Jason Eason. Actually, earlier today, he announced he's leaving Georgia, as expected, because he lost his starting job to freshman Jake Fromm. Eason made the decision on Twitter earlier today, Friday, thanking the Bulldogs for an incredible 2 years. He says he'll miss signing up for the red and black, or in red and black, but Athens will always be a place I can call home. Now, he did not actually say what he intended to play, but speculation is that he may be going back home to the state of Washington, maybe playing for the Huskies. We don't know. But Eason started for Georgia last season as a freshman, and he began this season as the number one quarterback ahead of Fromm, but a knee injury in the season opener against Appalachian State knocked Eason out of the lineup and for the rest of the season. And Fromm guided, of course, the Bulldogs to a 13-2 record, the first ACC title since 2005, thrilling Rose Bowl victory in a out of the national championship game against Alabama. So, hey, good freshman resume for Jake Fromm. So, Jacob Eason, you know, sorry to see him go, but just was not going to get any playing time. He got the number one recruit in the state coming in at quarterback as well. So, he was the odd one out. So, Jake Fromm, hopefully he will land, and he's going to be a starter, no doubt, before his college career is over. It's TaylorMade Sports with Kevin Taylor, and we're now going to go to Georgia's in-state rival, the Georgia Tech Yellow Jackets. They made some moves and news this week as head coach Paul Johnson. He's hired a new defensive coordinator. His name is Nate Woody. And speaking of Appalachian State, that's where he came from. Now, Georgia Tech's defense, they struggled. They lost leads during the season. And Ted Ruth, he resigned, actually, but looks like it was a mutual parting of the ways. But he actually is going to become the co-defensive coordinator and assistant head coach at North Carolina State. So Coach Roof is moving on to another opportunity. Coach Woody is a 27-year coaching veteran, and he guided Appalachian State's defense the past five seasons. And his scheme is more of a 3-4 defense. The Mountaineers actually led the Sun Belt Conference in total defense three times and ranked among the top 30 nationally each of the past four seasons. And, of course, Georgia State, their football team pretty much would know about that, you know, from their head-to-head competition. And for Appalachian State, they closed out the season with a thrashing of Toledo, 34-0. They routed them in the Dollar General Bowl. Now, Coach Woody is actually the fifth defensive coordinator under Paul Johnson. So Coach Ruth actually was the longest tenured defensive coordinator. But like I said, the defense just could not protect leads in games like against Tennessee and Miami. The defense, they're going to be coming into their own, though, so they're going to be getting more experience this year. It did include, though, last season, 6 seniors and 5 juniors that started. But, you know, I guess Paul Johnson just felt like it was time for a change, and the change is coming now with Nate Woody. Now, I was at the press conference on Tuesday, and I actually had an opportunity to talk to Coach Woody about evaluating the players that are already on Tech's defense, as well as with Georgia now being in the national championship game and, you know, a heavy place that, you know, young guys are coming out of high school they may want to go to. And, of course, Georgia State, you know, an up-and-coming program that actually was in the Cure Bowl and won the Cure Bowl. You know, how will he go about recruiting? And, of course, here's his response.
Right now I'm in the process of evaluating our players and seeing what positions are best for them. I always want to find out from them what it is that they want to do. I thought a long time ago I had a good buddy that was playing with me, and he was playing defense, and he was doing really good. He started as a freshman. But after the year, he wanted to transfer because he wanted to be an offensive guy, and he was a good one. But you know, I don't even think the coaches realized that he wanted to be on the other side of the ball. And, you know, he left. So I've always tried to do this. I've always tried to ask the guys, you know, where is it that you want to play, and then try to show them the best place that they would fit in the defense and go from there. I was a guy that played defensive back my first couple of years, and then, you know, found that it was to my advantage to be an outside linebacker in the defense. And I didn't want to do that at first, but I had some success at that outside linebacker position. I realized, having gone through that situation, where it's a little bit difficult for some of the players to make some moves. So I just want to get feedback from them. I want them to let me know what it is that they want to play, and then try to show them the structure of our defense and how they can be successful at certain positions. As far as recruiting goes, we're looking for a certain type of guy. And I don't know that most of these other defenses are looking for the same guy all the time. I don't mind taking an inch or two off of a defensive lineman if he can giddy up and go. You know, I don't mind taking a tenth off of a linebacker 40 time if he can process it quickly. You know, so there's certain positions need to have, you know, different qualities that we hit on. So they may not be the same type of player that we're recruiting against. And if we are, it's okay, because this is a heck of a school, and I think we can win our battles, you know, recruiting.
All right, well, we're going to see. It's going to be definitely a work in progress for sure for Coach Woody. Welcome to Atlanta, Coach Woody. It was a pleasure meeting you. And I wish you much success as you prepare for the 2018 spring practice, as well as regular season coming up later on in the year. It's TaylorMade Sports with Kevin Taylor. Make sure that you check me out on social media anytime at Kevin Taylor 98 on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. And also the videos that I put up on my YouTube channel at TaylorMade Sports with Kevin Taylor. All right, the Atlanta Falcons, they've got a big game on Saturday in Philadelphia against the Eagles. The Eagles, they were arrested. They got a bye week last week. And we're going to see what the Falcons are made of. They're going to go on the road in the cold, taking on, you know, a Philadelphia team that is without their starting quarterback. And Matt Ryan, you know, is from that Philadelphia area. And it could be a very happy homecoming if he gets a win against the Eagles, no doubt about that. But first things first, a spot in the NFC Championship game is on the line. When Matt Ryan, of course, takes the field along with his teammates against the Philadelphia Eagles. Ryan, of course, grew up rooting for the Eagles, went to Philadelphia's Wigan Penn Charter School, but he's 1-3 at Lincoln Financial Field. 1-3. Now, Ryan said this week, I'm used to it now about returning home. Playing as long as I have, I understand, regardless of where we play, you have to be at your best every week. The one nice part is there will be a lot of familiar faces, friendly faces, after the game, which is always nice. Now, you know, Ryan actually had his worst game of his MVP season last year in the Falcons' 24-15 loss in Philadelphia. I remember that. It was on November 13th, and he was 18-33 for 267 yards with one touchdown and one pick. The Falcons did not look good at all. They just did not. Hopefully that would not be the case on Saturday. Now, here are some things to watch out for when these two teams clash in Philadelphia on Saturday. Like I told you, Nick Foles, he's going to be making his fourth start, replacing injured Carson Wentz after Wentz, who pretty much probably would have been the MVP or at least a strong running for the MVP award, tore his ACL in week 14. Now, Foles is playing well in his first five quarters, but he struggled in the next five. You know, he's no Carson Wentz, but, you know, Nick Foles, you still got to watch out for him. Overall, he's still playing well, not maybe at a high level, but just doing enough to get his team in position to get a win. Now, Wentz actually threw seven touchdown passes in a game in 2013. He was a hot commodity back then. But he had four touchdowns in his first start in week 15. So he can do very well. He can play very well. The Falcons defense, they know that. So they cannot take him lightly just because he's the backup. Also, there's crowd noise. And, of course, Philadelphia fans are known for being boisterous in more ways than one. And they're going to be intense. Of course, Dan Quinn, head coach of the Falcons, he knows that. He said, this is a quote from Dan Quinn. He said, "I'm not going to say more passionate, but I will say more Northeast." Not sure what that meant, but hey, I just wanted to share that with you. Is there a particular Northeast sound? You know, I guess according to Coach Quinn, it is. But the Falcons, they'll be ready because they pumped in artificial noise in practice this week, but they're going to lean on Matt Ryan and center Alex Mack on that offensive line to their expertise with silent counts and hand signals to get you know, the ball snapped without being offsides or generating a lot of false start penalties. Mack actually said he expects Philadelphia fans to be really dedicated, really loud, really involved. So it's going to be a challenge just in terms of crowd noise. And I would agree on that. So let's now hear from head coach Dan Quinn about the team's week of preparation.
Most about for the guys this week. I thought we threw an awesome week of preparation in terms of staying ready. We made a big push in the red zone today. Their offense has played really well in the red zone, and for sure our defense has made improvements in that way. I think that for sure is going to be one of the factors. Health-wise, we came through the week in good shape. No setbacks for anybody as far as the week goes, so we're good in that way.
Yes, so it's good that they don't have a lot of injuries there to report. So it's going to be a great game, and the Falcons, they got to keep that offense in stride for sure. They looked well against Los Angeles last week. The defense played well also, so they got to keep that momentum going for sure. The Falcons finished the regular season 15th with first-year offensive coordinator Steve Sarkisian and averaging just over 22 points per game. That's down, though, from a year ago, but still – enough to get him into the playoffs. But it was a learning experience for both Matt Ryan and Steve Sarkisian, and also just the offense in general. Now, the Eagles, they've had some success against Julio Jones, especially in their win last year. They kept him out of the end zone but allowed 10 catches for 135 yards. So will Julio maybe be a decoy instead of the other weapons on the Falcons' defense? We'll have to see. Jalen Mills held him to four catches for 48 yards, but he was matched up against Julio. And Mills is confident that he can do the same thing again this year. But, hey, it's a different aspect. It's playoffs. Everybody steps up their game on playoffs, especially the elite players like Julio Jones. So Ronald Darby, he's going to have to cover Jones as well. So when he's on the other side of the field. So, of course, Julio's going to be the top target that the defense is going to go after for Philadelphia. But, you know, the options in the backfield for the Falcons still are very well. Devontae Freeman and Tevin Coleman. You know, both teams actually have weapons in the backfield. The Falcons have Devontae Freeman. He had 865 yards rushing and seven touchdowns on the season. Tevin Coleman had 628 yards rushing and five touchdowns. Now, LeGarrette Blount, he's a big runner. He led the Eagles to 766 yards rushing and had two touchdowns. Jay Ajayi, who the Eagles got in the season trade with Miami, had 873 yards rushing and one touchdown combined with the Dolphins and Eagles. And he ran for 130 yards against the Falcons in Miami's win against the Falcons on October 15th. Still can't get over that game. That's sticking over there. But that's different. That's a different story. So it's going to be a great game. You catch the game on NBC on Saturday afternoon, 4:35. So it's going to be a great one, no doubt. And like I said, the Falcons are one step closer at least to getting back to the Super Bowl if they can win. But first, they've got to take care of the divisional round and move to the championship round. So that winner will be either the Vikings or Saints, because they also play on Sunday. So we'll see how that will match up. And, wow, you know, it's just a great time of the year, NFL playoff. So we'll see if the Falcons can get the job done on Saturday. If they can, who their opponent may be next week. But I know they're not looking past Saturday. But the key to the game is you got to be able for the Falcons to keep that offense on the stride, like I told you. And the defense has to also play smart. Do not put yourself in any holes with getting penalties. Being penalized has hurt the Falcons' defense this season. They put themselves in bad positions. So they got to play smart football as well. Special teams got to be an improvement there. Hopefully, you know, Andre Roberts or whomever is returning kicks or punts can put this team in a good position with yardage as well. So that's what it's going to come down to, and it should be a great game, no doubt about that. Now, this weekend, you know, it's the MLK holiday weekend. And remember, though, the main objective is a weekend off, but a weekend on. So anytime that you can get to serve in your community, please do that. But we do have some other sporting events that may be of interest to you that you may want to check out as well. Now, Georgia's tennis team will come to Atlanta for the MLK Georgia Tech Invitational at the King Breyer Tennis Complex on the campus of Georgia Tech. Georgia is the highest-ranked team at number 4, number 16, Illinois, and 23rd Columbia will be there. There will not be a team score, though, and it's the fifth straight year that Georgia has participated. Now, Georgia will play Columbia at 9 a.m. on Saturday, and the matches will actually take place at 9 a.m. and 1 p.m. daily, and the event will run through Monday. So it's going to be a great tennis event this weekend at the Georgia Tech, the MLK Georgia Tech Invitational. Now, moving on to basketball, the Atlanta Hawks, they lost tonight to Brooklyn 110-105. The Hawks, they had the lead late in the fourth quarter, but the Nets went on a 7-2 run to take the lead late in the game, pretty much just before the end of regulation, and, of course, to get the win. Dennis Schroeder had 34 points in the Hawks' loss. It was the Hawks' first game back after a five-game road trip, where the only win came on the last game of the road trip against Denver. The Hawks remain home this week, as they are in a six-game homestand right now. The next game is Monday. It doesn't get any easier against San Antonio. That's the annual King holiday game. That would be at 3 o'clock. Then the Hawks take on New Orleans on Wednesday night at 7:30. Now, Georgia State, their men's basketball team, they're away against Coastal Carolina on Saturday at 3:30. Georgia Tech, they're coming off a big win this past Wednesday night against Notre Dame, actually. And on Wednesday, but they're going to be on the road on Saturday against Pittsburgh. That game will be at 2 p.m., and then they'll come home against number 3 Virginia on Thursday night at McCamish Pavilion. Tip-off is at 8. Now, Georgia, they're going to be at home against South Carolina on Saturday at 2 o'clock, and then they'll travel to LSU to take on the Tigers on Tuesday at 7 p.m. Clark Atlanta, who's 14-1 and ranked actually nationally, in Division II basketball, they'll have a pair of road games on Saturday against Albany State at 4 o'clock and on Monday against Fort Valley State at 8 p.m. Morehouse, can you believe this? They're playing the same teams on the road as well, different days, of course. They're going to be traveling to Fort Valley State on Saturday at 3 o'clock to take on the Tigers and then Albany State on Monday at 3 o'clock for the King Holiday. Now, Morehouse, they are 13-0. So congratulations to Morehouse being 13-0 at this point of the season. And actually, congratulations to Clark Atlanta as well. Darryl Walker is putting together a great season for his squad over at Clark Atlanta as well. Well, that's going to do it for this edition of Taylor Made Sports with Kevin Taylor. thank you so much for joining me. And, of course, we're going to keep you informed as to what's going on here in Atlanta as we talk sports from Atlanta and around the country, as well as Rock the Sports Bell from the ATL. And, of course, like I told you, make sure that you check me out on social media, and I'll let you know what the next edition of Taylor Made Sports will be coming up. That's Kevin Taylor 98 on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Kevin Taylor 98, and also the YouTube channel at Taylor Made Sports with Kevin Taylor. Again, that's Taylor Made Sports with Kevin Taylor on YouTube. Never be discouraged, always encouraged. Until the next time, my friends, I'm out.